It's my privilege to get to speak to you guys this morning. I hope you guys are excited to be here. Even though John might have been nauseous, I just love spending time together in worship. I love just singing, and I have to confess, I do like us sitting closer together, because then it doesn't just sound like me singing, because me singing doesn't sound that great, but I can hear other people's voices, and that encourages my heart. I have to confess that when I was preparing this sermon, it felt like it came too easy. So that's my confession today. And probably because it's more of something that's been on my heart, or something that I just feel, I feel strong about. But one thing I was thinking about this morning before coming to church, I was starting to complain about the weather and starting to complain about, you know, I got to get the kids dressed, or Mallory's got to get the kids dressed, and I got to eat something, and I got to get to church. And it was reminding me of a time when I was in Guatemala. And we did a lot of things in Guatemala, but one of the things that we did is that we got to go see an 80-year-old lady up in the mountains. And the pastor told us there that he was astounded by the commitment of this 80-year-old lady, that she did not miss a Sunday, and she had to walk 10 miles to get to church. And it reminded me this morning that I was complaining that I had to go start the car, that it's too cold outside, that the kids are being annoying. And I remember that story that this 8-year-old lady thought it was so important that she would not miss it for the world, and that she would sacrifice, 10 miles. I don't know if I can walk 10 miles. I probably could, but imagine the commitment it took and how important she thought meeting together was, that she was willing to wake up early and walk that distance, just to meet together. And it wasn't a big church. It was like 20 people meeting together. And it reminded me this morning just how important, and just kind of, it kind of put me back in my place, so to speak, reminding me of this lady who was committed to meeting together. John Piper said something a little while ago that really struck me. He said, a preacher's job is to talk about the wonders and warnings of God. And I must say that I might be a little warning heavy, if you know what I mean. But today I'm trying to talk about more God's wonder, okay? So stick with me as I try, okay? And I have to, another story of when I was doing ministry is actually up in Shetland, Scotland. That's where Shetland ponies come from. It's a tiny island way up in the North Sea. It was actually used to be Danish, but then Scotland bought it with a princess. Like, here, have this, and we'll take the island. But we're doing ministry up there, and we were praying for people. And one of the students that was taking the school with me, a guy came up to her with a cast on and said, would you pray for me? Would you pray that God would heal my arm? And so she's like, oh, sure, why not? Well, we'll give it a shot, right? So she starts to pray. And when she starts to pray, all of a sudden some noise is starting to happen. Some cracking noise starts to happen. And so her not really understanding what was going on, she opens her eyes, continues to pray, and kind of gives that, you know, the awe look. And then finally she's like, okay, amen. And the guy was like, thank you. And my arm's healed. And he continued to take off his cast. And she was standing there just kind of like, what? What happened, so to speak? And he asked this question that is grained in my mind. Well, didn't you believe? Oh, that's challenging. Well, yeah, of course I believe that God can heal, that's a challenge, I think, for us. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the wonders of God this morning. And I don't have any PowerPoint because I warned you guys that, especially you guys in the front row, that you might get some spit on you. But even practicing this sermon, I feel so passionate about the wonders and the mysteries of God. And so I hope you guys follow with me today, and I hope that God will really impact you and inspire you guys to new faith. One of my favorite chunks of scripture is in Acts 2. After Pentecost, I feel like I talk about this all the time, is the starting of the church there in Jerusalem. It's Acts 2, 42-44. It says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And before I nitpick this scripture, why don't we just pray together? So Father, we thank you that you are great and you are big, and that we come here because of you, because of what you've done in our lives and what you've done throughout history. We thank you because you are God Almighty. You are God of the universe, and you are awesome. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to hear from your word this morning. You would open our hearts to hear the message you have for us, that you would inspire us again to new heights of faith, that we'd be excited to go out and to preach your word and to reach the lost. Lord, I just pray that this would not be a ritual, but this would be something that is life-giving. This is something that would impact our lives. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. I pray this because of you, Jesus. Amen. So this chunk in Acts 2 that I read this over and over again. This is one of my favorite chunks of scripture. And I want to pinpoint one little tiny thing out of this chunk that I think we might have missed. And it comes in verse 43. It says, everyone was filled with awe. And I think that sometimes that's the ingredient that is missing in the church. Martin Luther said some very strong words in some of his writings, and this is kind of a clip from one of them. He says, reason is a whore, the greatest enemy that faith has. It never comes to the aid of spiritual things, but more frequently than not struggles against the divine word, treating with contempt all that emanates from God. In another part, he says, faith must trample underfoot all reason, sense, and understanding. Now, reason is not necessarily a bad thing. See, God gave us our mind, after all. But when human reason trumps the Word of God, or we read the Word of God a certain way and twist it to fit our reason and understanding, it has become our enemy. Faith must trample all reason. It must trump it. See, in the church, I feel sometimes that human reason has somehow become supreme. And that subsequently, we have lost our awe. It has also hindered our worship. See, the God who works in mysterious ways, we have put into formulas so that we can control Him. Rather than embrace the mystery and bow down to Him, we try to calculate what God is like. Instead of embracing the mystery, we want Him to fit into our boxes. But God is awesome. And He does crazy, jaw-dropping things. Being awesome means causing or inducing awe, inspiring an overwhelming feeling of reverence, admiration, and fear. These three terms I think we're missing in church life. Reverence, admiration, and fear. But I want to do this tonight. I just want to say God is awesome. Let's say that together, okay? We get a little bit of participation. Ready? God is awesome. I don't know if you guys were holding the awe long enough, but okay. He makes humanity be in awe. See, Psalm 65 verse 8 says, the whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. Sadly, Western humanity has then reasoned away the awe, destroying our reverence and admiration and fear of God. I think we need to hear the critique from Zophar from the book of Job. You know, Job was trying to understand, why would God let these horrible things happen to me? And he was coming up with all of these reasons. But Job's friend said something very true about God. This is Job 11, verses 7 to 9. He says, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens above. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths below. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. The answer is no one can fathom the mysteries of God except God Himself. Reason will never entitle us to the knowledge of the mysteries of God. We cannot figure them out with formulas or rhetoric, but by faith, God can show us and do wondrous things. That is why Jesus was so happy how the Father revealed the kingdom. He says in Matthew 11:25, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things, which is the kingdom of God, from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. See, God saw something in children that adults lack. Jesus reiterates this in Mark 10. He says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. See, somehow the kingdom of God belonged to these children, and that we have to become like these children to embrace the kingdom, to receive the kingdom. So I have to ask the question, what do children have that most adults lack? What are we lacking? Why do we have to become like a child to receive the kingdom? And I think the answer is faith. See, children do not try to explain away the mysteries of God. They do not try to put God in a box, but they are in awe of who He is. And so the saying is true that we need to have faith like a child to embrace the kingdom of God. I wonder sometimes that we've maybe missed receiving the kingdom of God because we don't have that faith like a child, that we're not willing to embrace the mysteries of God or the wonders of God. Of course, when we start talking about faith, we have to go to the faith chapter of Hebrews 11, which starts out by saying, now faith is a confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. See, the wow moments that God has revealed in His Word, we know and understand by faith. And so verse 3 is so important. It says, by faith we understand. See, this is totally contradictory to our human intellect and reason. We understand, but when we come to faith, we find understanding through our faith for the mysteries of God. That we cannot understand God through our own human intellect or our own human reason, but by faith we understand. Sometimes I think we switch that around by our intellect we have faith. Rather, by our faith we have understanding. We live in a fairy tale world, even if you believe it or not. See, apparently there are spiritual forces, some good and some evil. There is a king and a bride and an enemy and battles with disastrous defeats and miraculous grand victories. We live in a fairy tale world. And it's more like a Disney movie than we let on. In fact, there's even an account of a talking donkey. Yet we reason away all these things and make a pretend world where we're in control and nothing out of the ordinary happens. How we have distorted the beauty and mystery of God and His written word so that it fits into our box. In verse 3 of Hebrews 11, it goes on to say that the universe was formed by God, not from things, but from the invisible, right? And apparently, people of faith have struggled with this in later days. I mean, the whole theory that God made the earth in 6 days seems to be waning. They argue that it wasn't, as the biblical account says, they say, well, that's poetry, and therefore you can read it and interpret in different ways, but it's no less truth. And so people somehow have combined their intellect with their faith and come up with their own ideas how certain things have taken place, rather than by faith understanding what took place. And I think if we rationalize the creation, then we don't have enough faith for the rest of the 66 books. If we can't comprehend that God can create the world in 6 days, and on the seventh He rested, if we can't have faith for that, how are we supposed to have faith for anything else? Thanks, Adam. See, creation was only the start, was only the beginning of mysterious and strange things that took place in this book. See, shortly after the creation account, apparently a snake was talking to Adam and Eve. That doesn't make sense. By faith, we understand. Or by faith, we have to understand that humans just didn't live for 100 years, but they lived for hundreds of years. There was giants in the land. Who believes in giants? What about the big boat, Noah and the ark? I mean, apparently this guy is supposed to be some kind of Stone Age guy, and he's building a massive boat. And through this boat, animals come in. Like, you understand by reason and intellect, this stuff does not make sense. And then humans, we built this massive tower, and then God gave us different languages and spread us throughout the earth. And then God made a ridiculous promise to Abram. And then burning sulfur came down from heaven and consumed Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt? You know what, God, that sounds a little silly. Do you mind changing that to where she just kind of like dropped dead or something like that? No, she was turned into a pillar of salt. I can't make this stuff up. It sounds more like a movie that came out in theaters lately. Or Sarah, being very old, gives birth. Or Moses rides a basket down a river. And Moses finds a burning bush that's not consumed by fire. And his staff turns into a snake. And then we get into the 10 crazy plagues. I mean, what's with the locusts and the frogs and the boils and the blood? It doesn't make sense. And then God leads them out in a pillar of fire. All these things, if I was to reason with them, I would say that this is silly. This does not make sense. My human reason says that this must be some kind of stuff somebody made up. And this is just a short list. I mean, this is just Genesis and Exodus. I haven't talked about Samson and the donkey jawbone and what he did with that. Or about Samuel or Elijah, who apparently disappeared in a whirlwind. Or Elisha. And then we get to Jesus, apparently this God-man. You know, he's 100% God and he's 100% man. That doesn't add up. Does anyone else figure that out? Like, how are we supposed to understand this? And we're supposed to follow this lead of this God-man. I have to tell you guys that this book and our religion makes no sense without faith. And if we have faith like a child, though, we can gain understanding of these things. But I want you to understand that when you go to the workplace, people might think that's ridiculous. And fair enough, without faith, it does kind of sound ridiculous. But with faith, with childlike faith, we can grab hold of the mysteries of God and the wonders of God. And that's what we're called to. So today is a day of letting go. So that faith can trump your reason. And this is an intentional decision to become like a child and again be in awe of the awesome God who has moved throughout history and has moved in your lives as well. Otherwise, I don't know why you're here. So we need to set aside our arguments, set aside our disbelief, set aside what science has taught us and what we've learned, and embrace the mystery and wonder once like we did as a child. I want you guys to leave this place being in awe of an awe-inspiring God. God is awesome. Let's say it again together. God is awesome. And so we understand through faith that he sent his son Jesus, born of a virgin, to reconcile creation to himself. And that through his reconciliation, through his resurrection, we are promised to be raised and spend eternity with him. See, this awesome Yahweh made an eternal dwelling place for us to live. But this doesn't make sense to an unbelieving mind. But through faith, guys, through faith as a child, we can embrace this truth. Jesus says in Matthew 17:20, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And I got to admit, most of my being says, "Jesus, you're ridiculous." But through faith, may I believe and may we believe that when we're living according to God's will, that nothing will be impossible. Even here at Saskatoon Evangelical Free Church, may we believe through faith that God can do great things, that he can move in our midst, he can move in our ministries, he can move in our lives, and that he can bring the lost and the broken, and they can find healing. Do we have the faith that God can use us here? Or are we all pity me, pity us? Or do we still have that faith of an awesome God who can do awesome things? Have we lost our faith? Have we lost our childlike faith? Where we say, "God, I don't understand what you're doing here necessarily. I don't understand why you're doing certain things, but I believe and I have faith that you can do great things here. And I submit to your will, Lord, and I want you to move in this place." I wonder if that's our attitude. Have we lost the awe in the awesome God? I don't think we worship some boring God. Otherwise, I don't want to be here. I understand that this God works in mysterious ways, and I don't understand pretty much anything he does. But I understand that I want to bow down to him. I want to worship him here and when I'm at home and when I'm going out doing different activities. I think when we've embraced that faith as a child, we will again, we'll restore that awe that's in Acts 2. We'll also restore those words, the reverence, the admiration, and the fear of God. When we learn that God is awesome and we can't put him in a box, we can't understand how big he is, then we'll start to revere him, we'll start to admire him, and we'll start to fear him. I want to challenge you guys today to maybe think of some of those barriers you put up in your mind using your reason of how God can work or how God does things. Because I think that can be a limitation for ourselves or a distraction for ourselves. Sometimes we have let our reason trump our faith. And in doing so, we've damaged our relationship with Jesus. Because we've put him into our box. We try to say, "God, you can go this far, but no farther. You can work in this way, but this way, you know, I don't fully understand, so please don't do that." I want you guys to leave here today. I'm reiterating this. I want you to leave here today understanding that God is awesome. That he inspires awe that leads to reverence, admiration, and fear. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can't understand you fully. You've revealed yourself in your word, Lord, but you are so much bigger than what you've revealed in there. And we cannot fully comprehend the mysteries of you, or how big you are, or this the wondrous works you've done on earth, Lord. We just want to bow down and say, God, you are awesome. God, you've done awesome things here, and you've done awesome things in our life, and we trust you. We trust you to do it again. We trust you to do your will here. May we submit to that. May we just be in awe of you. Lord, I pray that we would set down all the things that we've built up with our reason that has hindered our faith. Lord, we want you to work. We want you to build your kingdom here. And so may we participate in that. May we just be willing to step forward in faith and say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Do your will. Work your wondrous ways. Even though you're mysterious, I want to be on your side, and I want you to build your kingdom. So Jesus, give us the faith. Give us the faith to understand that you want to use us here in Saskatoon. Father, we need you. I pray that you would restore our childlike faith and the wonder so that we can come to worship you, the one true God, with hearts that are set on just on your glory. So Father, thank you for meeting with us here today. I just pray that we would not leave the same, that we would go back to our homes and our families and our workplaces, and we would understand that you are there with us, and that you can do wonders there too, and you can do miracles there too, and you work in mysterious ways there too. Lord, may we be a family that is intent on doing your will, that we're a family that are bent on building your kingdom. Lord, we just pray all these things for your glory and for your name, Jesus. We pray these things. Amen. Amen.